Greetings, citizens of Earth. You are barking a happy tune with my pal Smurf of Smurf and the Magic Tones on 5280 Geek.
Live from the Figgis Studios, it is Weekend Geek Update. Smurf here, digging out here in Colorado. Snowpocalypse, Snowmageddon. Holy crap, that's a lot of snow as the sun comes out. Only in Colorado can you go from blizzard to requiring sunscreen the very next day. Yeah. Move to Colorado. Yeah, don't. There's enough people here already. We are sponsored by Susie Q's, the purveyor of fine jewelry and a craftsman above all else. Unfortunately, due to Snowpocalypse, the interview that you were expecting today is filled with just me. We will get back to Susie once, of course, the pathways to the mountaintop have been cleared. The falcons return to the nest. Rainbows once again are coming out of unicorns' butts. I don't know what the signs will be. All I know is we barely dig out, and it's supposed to snow again tonight. This is March. March is by character one of the snowiest months in Colorado. There you go. There's your fun fact for the day. I do remember a Starfest, and this is April, mind you. And it's not the first time that it's happened to me. This was, like, I think, 2003, 2006. Again, Snowpocalypse hits, and we're at the hotel for Starfest. And, of course, just get completely just buried in, and it was probably one of the more interesting and entertaining of Starfests. But, yeah, so, and that was April. So if this is an indicator of what we have for the rest of the season, that's great. You know, in fact, Phil the Gopher, I think he should be looking for snowstorms, not days of winter. Just a thought. And while you're sitting there trying to figure out what to do, go to SusieQs.com or her Instagram or her Facebook and check out her work, her jewelry. She's putting up earrings, like different styles and variations every day now. At least she has for the last couple weeks. And earrings that complement any outfit that you may have, male or female. Yes, they are flexible that way. I don't know. I don't have a pierced ear, so I couldn't tell you about earrings, to be honest with you. But the bracelets and the necklaces are pretty cool. Oh, what's going on? So with everything going on, there are some stories out there. It's been kind of a light news week. So here's just a few things that have caught my eye and my take on them. And I will try to remain as spoiler-free as humanly possible. But first off, of course, if you have not been paying attention to the calendar, which is easy to do in this day and age of sheltering in place and who knows what's going on, Falcon and the Snowman including Justice League of America Snyder Cut are both landing this week. So at least you got something to watch if you're here in Colorado, even across the state. Most of like geek news this week was kind of, I wouldn't say lame, but just kind of stagnant. Not a whole lot of movement went on. And that's fine. It happens. You know, not every week is a red letter week, especially when you're not, you know, doing cons and whatnot. And cons are starting to shape up, and it looks like we will be seeing some things happen. One of the big con developments, of course, was Denver Comic Con. Formerly known Denver Comic Con, which evolved into Pop Culture Con, is now part of the Fan Expo, which is not to be confused with the Salt Lake City crew, but it's the end of the Denver Con and now the creation of something entirely different. So it's a question of what they will do. They will be returning in 2022. Yeah, I got to think what year we're in. chances are they are going to be in April. So, again, speaking of Starfest, that could be a direct conflict depending upon what they want to do. I don't have anything bad to say about the organizers for FanX. I've done, or the FanX, well, I've done multiple cons under their banner, or have attended and have covered. And I've got, they're fine. They're very focused on what they're focused. They don't give you any promises that they're not, you know, willing to deliver on. There may be a bit of a price hike, but I'm curious. And this is where, you know, price is fine. I get it. Whatever. But what leaves me wondering and questioning is the guest rotation, because I think, if I'm not mistaken, they're kind of similar to like WizardCon and that nonsense, where they have like a rotation. They have people on payroll, and they just kind of go through their rotation. So I don't know how celebrities and contracts are set up for their con. So I don't know if we're going to get anyone, you know, specific, because they have brought like Chris Evans, and they have brought some very higher tier celebrities and people to cons, and that's great for the con goer. And I mean, I don't know how it affects the price for our tickets. I don't know what we're looking at. Also, fear for the price of a table. What's that going to look like for retailers? And you know, I know Denver Comic Con had started looking outside of Colorado a lot. They have ignored a lot of the local retailers, which is a mixed bag. I mean, I can understand rotating different people through so you don't get the same old every single year, so it just looks like, you know, the same indoor yard sale. But it's still one thing to kind of do that, but also, you know, kind of shun them entirely. So it's difficult to say. And also the cosplayers had, you know, basically also packed up their tents and went on. So what this means for the convention itself here in Colorado, it will change. Let's make no bones about that. It will be ran by the Fan Expo people. They did say in the press release that individuals from Denver Comic Con are still involved, that the Pop Culture Classroom 501c3 side of it is still intact and still moving forward with their literacy and their education process. That is fantastic. I can't, it's a wonderful cause, and literacy is something, you know, of a heartstring for me. Absolutely. You learn so much from reading comics, words, phrases, how to, you know, talk, for crying out loud. I mean, when I was reading at the age of 8, come on, you start like, what's this word mean? I remember a couple words in Spider-Man. In reading Spider-Man, I was like, ooh, I got to look that up. I have no idea what that means. So it does expand one's mind and also in the creative process. So I'm happy to see. It looks like it's kind of a win-win on everyone's part, because the 501c3 of it can continue. The fans can get their con. And it's fine. It really is. So they can do what's important, and the fans can get, like I said, it's just a win-win. I know everyone's bread and gloom and doom and like, oh my God, it's the end of the world. Just change the landscaping a little bit. At least there's going to be a con. You know, there's a lot of them that have kind of, well, that's it for us. Packing up and, you know, one more casualty. So it's fine. I'm sure there will be many, many, many more stories to come out of this. In the meantime, you've got Colorado Springs Comic Con, who continues to announce guests. They think that, I think it was Honky Tonk Man from old school WWF that I saw recently announced from them, and just kind of laughed. I met him a couple years ago at Galaxy Fest. He's kind of a bitter old man. That guy is angry. So I don't know if I'm too keen to go and say hi to the Honky Tonk Man, but yeah, it is what it is. I'm sure that there will be other announcements, more guests to come along, and I think with Fan Expo hitting right now, it's tightening up the deal and getting Denver in its sights, it will help adjust for the guests. If there is a rotation, if there's something else like that, it's a whole year away. It gives them the opportunity to to effectively plan and, okay, who has Denver brought? Because let's face it, we have had some impressive guests here. There have been some fantastic moments. And people have loved the con. I've loved the con. The entire group has loved the con. Don't get us wrong when we nitpick, because that's what we do. We're fans. And, you know, unless we're bitching, griping, or nitpicking something, we're probably drowning or asleep. But, I mean, the con here at Denver has been great. It has treated us well, and we've been spoiled. And people don't realize how spoiled they have been in some regards with having a local con ran by local people. So it might be eye-opening for a few of the fans out there. But we'll keep you apprised. We'll let you know what's going on as this develops and as more guests. If we even get guests announced this year, I will be surprised. And that April date is kind of a looming one. I don't know. I mean, Starfest, again, is not returning this year. So what does that mean for next year? There's going to be drama. Drama, I say. What else? So this came across, and I forgot to talk about it last week. But Jennifer Cole and Leo Matsuda have boarded the Hello Kitty feature as directors. Yay! Hello Kitty is getting a live-action animated hybrid film that everyone seems to be doing from New Line Cinema, which is a knockoff for another subsidiary of AT&T and Time Warner Media. I didn't know New Cinema went with that deal, but okay, that's fine. So kind of like in similar fashion as Tom and Jerry, the recent release on HBO Max, Hello Kitty is set to be doing the same thing. The Hello Kitty project has yet to be named, and where it's going to be, basically a whole lot of nothing has popped up on this. I'm curious to see how they're going to approach the Hello Kitty brand. I know everyone, there's a soft spot for Hello Kitty. I've gone to the truck that comes through once a year, which is fun. Everybody shows up in their Hello Kitty garb, and it is just a great time. And there's such a soft spot, and I don't want them to screw this up. I know there have been attempts to do Hello Kitty cartoons and to get all that. No mouth. Hello Kitty has no mouth. That's the point. There's no mouth on Hello Kitty. So how do you get around her not having a mouth? And I know that people are like, well, you have to have a mouth to talk. Do you? Do you really? I don't know. I don't even know what the plot would be. I mean, Hello Kitty is, I guess it could come up with anything, to be honest with you. So, I don't know. It's really hard to say. And to go along with this, New Line Cinema president and CCO Richard Bernard was quoted saying they are extremely lucky to have found in Jennifer and Leo two directors who not only share a profound connection to the unforgettable character, Shiro Tetsuo and Senro have created over the past 40 years plus with Hello Kitty and her friends, but also have the imagination, talent, and heart to bring the iconic world to life on the big screen. So evidently they've probably got a lot of plans for this, and both Matsuda and Coyle have huge backgrounds in animation and in the art and the genre as well. I think Matsuda was part of Big Hero 6, if I'm not mistaken, and Wreck-It Ralph. So there are, you know, heavy ties. They do know how to tell a story. So it may be nothing. It may be the next big thing. I don't know. But it'll be fun to see just Hello Kitty on the big screen. I won't miss it. I just sit there and enjoy. Hopefully, they don't give her a mouth. It would just look weird. Really would. What else going on? Something else that caught my eye. We talked about this before. Evil's Dead. Bruce Campbell, of course. God, how far do you go back on this story? It's been an ongoing story, and it continues as Bruce Campbell has confirmed Evil Dead Rise will start filming this year. He is not I repeat, not going to be on the other side of the lens. In fact, this is going to bring in an entire new kind of area for Evil Dead. In fact, Bruce Campbell explained it as this. We're going to have a heroine, a woman in charge, and she's going to try and save her family. The main key with Evil Dead is they're just regular people who are battling what seems to be a very unstoppable evil. And so that's where the horror comes from. It's not someone who's skilled. They're not fighting a soldier or a scientist. They're not fighting anybody more than your average neighbor. This one is going to be a similar thing. So I'm curious. I guess evidently this takes place in kind of a neighborhood, and it's kind of similar to Walking Dead, which we will get to because there's, oh my God, there's some drama on Walking Dead. But this actually I'm kind of curious about because as much as I love Ash and everything that he has done for the franchise and the Walking Dead, Evil Dead, I want more of the universe. And I like the series that we had on Stars. The one film where they brought in a female to play Ash wasn't bad. But again, it all revolved around the cabin, and it was just kind of a similar story that we have already seen. So now, if it's, you know, just an average woman heroine character in the middle of a cul-de-sac that gets the tap on the shoulder, I'm all for that. And Evil Dead is you know, one part horror, one part, you know, outrageous characters, and one part just humor. And I'm kind of I'm excited to see that. I really, really do like, and this is one of the earlier, you know, guilty pleasure horror things from my past. So anything to continue with it is fine with me. So with them starting a new, you know, kind of look at it, that's fine. Because, I mean, I think it was 2013 and what was her name? Jane Levy, I think it was the heroine that played the new Ash, sort of. But there's no replacing. You can't see. That's where they failed. You can't replace Ash, Bruce Campbell, with anybody else. There's no way. So this makes perfect sense to kind of keep the series alive, and Bruce doesn't have to, you know, suit up, put a chainsaw on, and go out there and slice him up some deadites. Which I'm good with. I want to see more. So nothing else as far as dates or what's going on. Just him talking. So that's great. I'm all for that. What else? So speaking of horror, this is just, I guess, going to be like the horror cast this week. This, I don't know. I don't know how I feel about this, because this could go really good or really south very fast. The Munsters movie is happening with Rob Zombie as the director. Yeah, I know, you heard right. Sherry Moon is set to play Lily, which is, if you're not familiar, Sherry Moon is Rob Zombie's wife, and Lily is the wife of Herman Munster. So I'm not sure what to expect. The sordid past that Rob Zombie has in regards to horror and filmmaking is quite brutal. I mean, his Halloween was the first one was good, and then it got a little weird. There were some certain liberties that he took that I wasn't too appreciative of, and I'm from a film goer standpoint, I was okay with it. From a fan of the franchise, there were some things that I'm like, okay, no. Like Superman killing, there are certain rules and certain expectations when you go into the Halloween franchise of what you're going to get. A different take on the character is not bad. Don't get me wrong. And it's a different generation, and some things don't translate or come across well in that translation. And you kind of take certain things for granted when you're you know, looking at characters, especially when you look at what they tried to do for the reboot of Nightmare on Elm Street. It's the same thing. So a different take is not always bad. It's just, you know, you clinch tightly to what you like. Now, Rob Zombie, going into this genre, he's mentioned multiple times how much of a fan he is of the, you know, the franchise. The thing about the Munsters is, though, it was more comedy than horror. So when you look at Rob Zombie's past films, House of a Thousand Corpses, I mean, I don't even really have to go past that, because that is just brutal on so many levels. I don't know, is he the right choice? How is he going to do a comedy? Because when I look at Rob Zombie, I don't really think humor. Am I the only one? Is that just like, am I wrong in that assumption? Even when I met the man when I was working at the station, he just exuded just, he has a certain gravitas to himself that does not translate to humor at all whatsoever. I would not want to piss that man off. So to have him take this on, okay. It will be a very interesting approach, I'm sure. And I would love to see the Munsters get a shot at, you know, a remake, a reboot. I don't know. They haven't really expanded too much as far as what is going to happen. There have been other names attached to this. And one, of course, the George Garcia, which I'm excited to see, because he was from Lost. In addition to, I think, the big heavy hitter, in my opinion, is Cassandra Peterson, a.k.a. Elvira. So whether or not she comes in as her own, as Elvira, or if she's actually going to be a straight character is interesting. So he does pull a certain, you know, sense of actors. So I want to see this. I want this to work. I really do. Don't get me wrong, but I can't just visualizing it. I got, you know, House of a Thousand Corpses like music blaring in my background in my mind as, you know, Herman Munster's driving the big hearse wagon. So I guess maybe that is the approach. You know, you try, like the original Evil Dead, it was supposed to be a horror, but it was just so out there and outlandish, it ended up becoming, you know, one of the greatest comedies. So whatever your intention may be, how the fans receive it is entirely different. There isn't really, again, like I said, a whole lot of information on this. It's in development, and we'll see. I think the Munsters have had a very interesting past when it comes to the franchise. They had that one failed series, I think it was a Christmas one, or I can't remember. It was like Mockingbird Lane or something like that, and it had Jerry McConnell in it. And it wasn't really... it really wasn't that good. It wasn't. So I'm not surprised that, you know, this has kind of gone through a couple of different hands, and who knows where it will turn out. And I mean, this may even not go anywhere. That has happened with a few of the recent projects that have come across their desks. So we'll see. I'll let you know. In the meantime, catch up on some old Munsters. I loved Herman. He was so sage-like for a monster. What else? This show, I can't believe, is still going on. And I'm sure a couple of people will actually agree with me on this. American Horror Story Season 10 is giving us a first look as Corey McCulkin McCulkin is involved with Season 10. Macaulay Culkin. Yep, that was right. That's him. He's in Season 10 for American Horror Story. I think I've tiptoed in and out of this series for at least the last 5 years. This is the first three or four that I was watching it religiously. Of course, you know, I had someone I was watching it with, and we would talk about it, and there was just so many interesting elements. Zachary Quinto was just spot on, and just the characters were just so well thought out, and so was the plots. It got a little dodgy and dicey there after a while. I did tune in for the Lady Gaga season, which wasn't bad. Actually, Lady Gaga delivered an incredible performance. It was much more to her than I thought, and I was pleasantly surprised by that one. I think it was it the circus one that wasn't bad that I went and saw? Because when you go to Hollywood Horror Nights at Universal Studios, they have like a whole walk through American Horror Story. So they'll have like different seasons and different things set up in there. So of course the clowns usually, you know, strike certain fear in some people. We won't mention their names, Private Cheeseburger. But you know, they're afraid of clowns, and that one I know was particularly yicky. But the horror side of it, in fact, that was more, I got kind of updated by doing the Universal Horror Nights, because some of the shows I had missed. Now, the Home Alone store, Cully McCulkin, is coming back to a role in, I don't know, I guess this is cool? The official title of the 10th season of American Horror Story has yet to be revealed, with each storyline having a different title. That's just their press release. The previous season's American Horror Story went under the banner of 1984. So, okay. Slasher movie, yeah. So, we will see. On top of this upcoming season, Murphy has also gone on record that he will also be working on American Horror Stories, which will have a different story for each individual episode rather than following one storyline for an entire season. Okay. Well, that's fine. I'm you know, mix it up as best you can after 10 years. I mean, I'm sure you're kind of like, okay, what do you want to do now? And that is right. I do remember in 1984 kind of coming in. I watched that first season and then I kind of checked back out again. So we'll see. There have been Murder House, The Coven. I never watched The Coven. Yeah. Okay. Fair enough. And when you see it, I can just see Macaulay Culkin. I think it was The Good Son, where he was that little twisted maniac that threw that dead, or not dead body, it was just a mannequin off the overpass into the highway. So messed up, but really good cinema. I like that one a lot. That cracked me up beyond belief. Okay. Moving on. This I wanted to talk about just because it's our friends. And we can't say enough about them, of course. As a new video game hits the airwaves, there we go. Cyanide and Happiness Freakpocalypse is now available. Our buddies over at Serenity Forge up in Boulder, Z and his crew have produced another. Actually, this game looks awesome. The world is, it's very, I'm going to put a link to the trailer because it is just adorable, and I think that this is probably one of the cutest. I mean, this looks like fun. This is like right up there with a couple of the other recent games that I've been playing, and it is absolutely great. It is available for Steam, Epic Games, Nintendo Switch, perfect. One more game for my Switch, why not? High school High school can feel like the end of the world, but in this case, it actually is. We're happy to announce that Cyanide and Happiness Freakpocalypse is now available on Steam, Epic Games, and Nintendo Switch. grab your point-and-click adventure. So it is kind of fun. Coop just wants to make the world a better place, and why shouldn't he? It's not like the like he consistently injures others, causes significant property damage, or generally makes life worse. He'll be fine. Maybe. Join Coop as his efforts to put up some flyers cause more harm than good. Will Coop finally make his first friend? Good question. Can he make it to prom alive? That's even better. I'm sure his date would appreciate it. Why is his neighbor a shark? Yeah, why not? Duh. Find out these answers and more in the chaotic world of Cyanide and Happiness Freakpocalypse. The trailer is absolutely awesome, and it's just kind of fun. It may not be for you. I mean, we have so many ages on this podcast. And it's something maybe you want to pick up and share with your kid. The stories and the games that Serenity Forge produces are absolutely stellar. Top shelf, and Z always surprises me with the creativity and the engines that they use for these games. And I don't think I've ever been disappointed in one of his products yet. So this one, I have no doubts, will stay in that vein of just fun, cozy feelings. It's enjoyable. It's fun, and it's usually for all ages. So, and this looks to be exactly the same thing. So, check it out. I will put a link of the trailer in the page so you can check it out. And like I said, it's available on Epic Games Store and Nintendo Switch. Pardon me. So, look for it. Cyanide and Happiness. Freakpocalypse. Freakpocalypse. Oh, what else? Oh, so I alluded to it. Might as well get to it. Walking Dead. My take on this week's Walking Dead is wow. Simply wow. My thought, I mean, let's make no mistake. I haven't been as plugged into Walking Dead. I mean, in fact, if you're a longtime listener, you've heard the progression from wow to over the 10 years of the show. And that can be absolutely understood as stories go through their progressions, as writers change, as approaches change, as things are adjusted to suit an audience or a television screen, and it's fine. You're limited by everything. Everything limits the creative process. Don't make any mistake. So one of my major, I wouldn't say gripes, but one of my things that I was about is I always wanted more of the world. Unfortunately, Fear of the Walking Dead I thought was going to be that, and that show has been so hit or miss that I can't get into it. I really want to. I really want to. And I even tried to get past the first season where it takes an entire season to get out of the driveway. I understand that you want to build up and it takes a certain amount of leverage. And I watched season 2 and 3, of course, and then I wanted to jump when Morgan shows up because of just how amazing that character was and leaving Walking Dead. I was like, okay, I owe him a little bit of loyalty. So, you know, I kind of watched that, and it was good, and then it wasn't. So Walking Dead has probably been more consistent in the regards of good, better than good, above average. We'll do that. The fact that we get pulled into the war with the Whisperers is no surprise. It's in the comics. It's a very impactful war. The casualties are extensive. And even in the show, they kind of represent briefly just what the hell happened, especially when you come back to Alexandria and it's a smoking crater. Hilltop's just wiped out. It's like, wow. And just how delicate of a balance it is in you know, this new world. And it's true. All of the resources, everything is basically gone or just about spent. They've searched, they've scoured, they've foraged as much as they can, and it's either figure out something new, try and start over, or migrate to where things may be better. It's very interesting to see in the show how, you know, they're still finding things. There's still survivors out there. There's still new experiences to have. And this week's episode is no different. And this is what I like. This is what I wanted to see more of when we were doing The Walking Dead, of what's gone on in the world around. So with everything kind of in disarray and broken down, we get Father Gabriel and Aaron out basically scouring. They're working off of a map that Maggie gave them that had stash points for supplies, for stuff, people. It's not as rainbows and, you know, merry music as you would hope, because every place that they visit is either wiped out, burned down, or just incorrect. And there's kind of like a interesting theory. And I don't know, because there's this other group that Maggie, of course, is at war with, because it's, you know, nobody can work together. It's easier to take and run away with whatever supplies the other person has than make friends and try to work together towards a better year. And it's rough out there. It's very rough out there. So be sure to bring your mace. The story itself is absolutely spot on. It's perfect. It's what I have always wanted to see from The Walking Dead. It's more than what I've wanted to see when they're out and about. Of course, last week's episode was, you know, like I said, kind of like Daryl and Carol on a date for what passes in the apocalypse as a date, as he visits an old cabin that he was hiding out at. But of course, it starts out with him and Carol going out to, again, forage and try and find supplies to rebuild yet again. So it's the same premise. It's just building off of that. And there are more stories to come. I'm excited to see next week's as we get Princess and facing off against stormtroopers. Yeah. See how good their aim is. But this week's episode was, I think, I want to say it's up there with, like, I don't know. These last couple of episodes have actually given me faith or hope when it comes to the franchise. Because it was the writing that made it good. And I don't want to compare it to All Clear, because I think when you look at Walking Dead, there are some extremely powerful standout episodes. And of course, I mentioned Morgan earlier, and that's where we get the first glimpse of Morgan with the All Clear, and after, you know, he'd ran into Rick once before. So you see the drastic before and after with that story. And it's probably, in my opinion, the best story that Walking Dead ever produced. And it was just wow. So, and it also even affected Rick to change his approach on fortification and how the group functioned after his interaction with Morgan. Now, this week's episode with Aaron and Gabriel, it has that element. It has that bonding. It has that great storytelling, and it really does pull on the heartstrings. We are drastically different from where these characters started from and to where we are now. Aaron is, you know, he's lost a hand, well, most of an arm anyway, and Father Gabriel is in and out of, you know, his morality issues, being a priest and trying to hold to his faith, in addition to just understanding the world at large, and of course, you know, blind in one eye from what happened, what, two seasons ago? Sure, I'll go with that. But it's just, it, I'm trying to explain it without any spoilers, because I really want you to watch this episode. If there's a Walking Dead episode that you watch this season, I really think this is it, because it is so laced with some interesting conversation, and you just almost can feel the desperation and the pain that these guys are going through as they're trying to just piece something together. And it's titled One More, and that's in regard to going through the map. We should go back. No, we should look for, you know, one more. We've got one more to go. So they keep pushing and pushing and pushing. And of course, at this point, I think what we saw last week is, you know, have we pushed our luck too far? Are we out of luck? And it's an interesting question, and it's something that I was thinking about as I'm watching this episode, because there's some moments, and then when we finally get to the end, the buildup is absolutely spot on. And you just, the tension between the survivor and the Aaron and Gabriel is just palatable. It really is. And as the story progresses, we kind of get an understanding of what's gone on. And Gabriel, like, delivers one of the best monologues I think I've ever seen him deliver. I mean, this is like a sermon almost. And I have to admit that without a doubt, this for this season is probably the best episode. I know we haven't seen the one with Negan yet, and I haven't seen next week's, which looks to be a little bit more action-packed, but for the sake of argument, so far to this season, this is probably one of the heavy episodes. And I like when they can take their time, and they have used the time wisely. The way it ends, I'm still kind of in awe. I'm really shocked at the conclusion that we come to. And especially from who it comes from. The character has gone through their ups and their downs and has definitely had their own personal issues and fights with demons that you wouldn't expect from that character. But all in all, has come out on the other side a little bit wiser, scuffed up a bit, yeah. But I don't know if the answer he came to is the correct one. I was shocked and surprised at what happened, and I shouldn't be, because this is in style of Walking Dead. This is how the show built its domination over television, with delivering these impactful moments, and you're sitting there with your jaw open, just like, what did I just see? Holy shit. And that was this episode. That was the moment where I'm just like, what? But it doesn't end there. There's an entirely another level after we get through that scene. And it's still, they found a way to ratchet it up even still. And I can't believe that they went there. I mean, it was absolutely just, okay, they wow. And again, it's not everything that you expect. It's not everything that you are thinking. So at the end of the episode, there are some conclusions that I came through on my own, and I would be happy to discuss them with you offline. If you have questions, by all means, shoot me a message. But I think the right decision was made when you look at the evidence. When you take in the entire episode, I think the conclusion makes perfect sense. And I think it was delivered in a way that it was so subtle that everyone was like, if you're paying attention. And there are moments, because it'll take a second. It's a slow burn. Don't get me wrong, because it even took me a minute to like, well, wait, what about? And you get so lost in that one pivotal moment that just sets the whole story off that you forget about the build. You forget about the slow burn. And you're just looking at what did I just see? Yeah, I am. Yeah, I wouldn't say Walking Dead is back. Don't jump to that conclusion with me. And please don't think that I'm switching sides and all of that fun stuff. I stay by what I have said in the past about Walking Dead, but it is good. It's good right now. I'll give you that. And these episodes have been anything from boring. I'll tell you that. They have been engaging. They have been fun. And I hope they keep with this going into season 11. We still have the remainder of season 10 to finish off. I'm not sure how many episodes they have slated. They've been kind of hush-hush about that. I'm sure we'll probably go into April, maybe, with episodes, which I hope they do. I'm really anxious and excited to see more the little snippets that we have of, okay, let's kind of orient everyone, and then we'll move forward. And the fallout has been interesting. But this episode, wow, I can't say it enough. Just wow. There you go. And if you're looking for it on demand, like I said, I'm sure it's on AMC. Walking Dead. One more is the title of the episode. So there you go. That's my take on this week's Walking Dead. Oh, what else we got going on? That's kind of it. There wasn't a whole lot else. Like I said, it's kind of a slower news week. Just to touch on a couple of quick points. They started filming for Black Adam. Evidently, The Rock has let everyone know that they're going to be filming. They're building sets right now as we speak. And there's kind of like some official art that is attached to this. So sets are now being built. Filming begins next month. So cool. But other than that, nothing else to report on that, which is kind of sad. I kind of wanted to get more of that. There's also, I guess, Doctor Strange. There's conversations revolving around his new look, which may be more of a classic look to the comics. So in the new movie, which is kind of fun. And what else? Yeah, that's kind of it. If you were unaware, just last night, the final episode of DuckTales aired. They are now done. And I guess, from listening to David Tennant, they are going to move on and do kind of like a DuckTales podcast of some sort. I'm not sure what that looks like, and that could be that could be interesting, but evidently they're trying to figure out how to make this work with the success that David Tennant has had under the podcast and his series with Michael Sheen, which is so good. I guess both him and Michael Sheen won an award for that series, which is coming back. They are looking to do something along those lines. So I'm not going to give away anything on the DuckTales. Actually, I'm behind on DuckTales. I kind of wanted to get all of them and then blaze right through them. And I'll let you know how it ends. And yeah, that's kind of this week's stuff. As always, thank you for listening. Give us a like, give us a share, follow us on Instagram, 5280Geek, and of course our YouTube channel, which is growing day by day. We will have more stuff to throw up there once, of course, we get back to filming stuff to put up on YouTube. It's kind of hard to, you know, record something when you can't get together, but it will happen. We will. We will prevail. Anyway, in the meantime, like us, share us. Thank you for listening, and we will see you next time. In the meantime, run fast, laugh hard, and always be kind.